Let's check in with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe, I was thinking about you over the holiday period. I kept hearing about heavy snowstorms, drone warfare. What's the latest where you are?
Well, Bob, good afternoon from Kyiv, and it is indeed snowy here today and very cold in the 20s. And I would say thanks to air defense and thanks to Ukraine disrupting Russia's Black Sea fleet, we are not drowning in missiles right now, but there is this growing swirl of negative propaganda. Voices far away from Ukraine calling for negotiations with Russia. When reality here on the ground, it feels, I mean, amazingly safe considering what Russia is throwing at Ukraine. On Friday night and really the early hours of Saturday morning, Russia sent its largest ever Iranian drone attack upon Ukraine. So the biggest it's ever been. More than 70 of these drones were sent throughout the country. And it's interesting that Saturday was also the 90th anniversary of the Holodomor, which is the Soviet-created famine under the leadership of Joseph Stalin that was a genocide against Ukrainian people. Many parallels to the Great Famine against the Irish people in the 19th century. And they did everything they could, the Soviets, to starve the Ukrainians. And so Saturday was the anniversary of that. And Russia sent 70 of these Iranian drones. But what's very remarkable, out of those 70, 40 of those Iranian suicide drones came toward Kyiv city, to the capital, the largest ever attack on Kyiv. But despite that, 5 people were injured. There was not significant damage. People have power and electricity. They did on Saturday. We still do today. And I think as some indicator of the success of Ukrainian air defense, I slept through it. I didn't hear a single, and I know this is not good in a way, but I didn't hear a single explosion. There were 40 drones flying at the city and over the city, and the air defense swatted them down remarkably. Mm-hmm. And so this is, in fact, I woke up Saturday morning. I went up to the hotel breakfast, and no one was there because everyone was down in the shelter. I was sort of mystified. But the spirits are high and strong, and you know, we keep hearing, oh, we got to be afraid of the big bad wolf, and Russia's going to attack the infrastructure. And surely they're trying, but they're not doing what they did a year ago, you know, sending 80 to 100 missiles every week. They're not doing that. Either their supplies are low, or their operations are disrupted, or perhaps also they realize that, you know, even after those attacks last year, I mean, yeah, they worked, they hit infrastructure, but Ukrainians care more about freedom than infrastructure, and they found ways to adapt. And so everyone is ready to have a winter without power, but that's not happening. And it's interesting, though, how the disconnect, when we see the stories and read about this in the press, the Washington Post, for example, said, despite the relative quiet, this is referring to Kyiv in the preceding weeks and months before that attack on the weekend. And the Washington Post says, despite the relative quiet, the mood in Kyiv had been darkening for weeks. And as senior military officials acknowledged that Ukraine's long-awaited counteroffensive had largely stalled and international attention shifted to the war in the Gaza Strip. But that's just not right to say that the mood was dark. It's anything but. Whether you're here in Kyiv or where I've been in Kharkiv, 30 miles from Russia, a city which does get hit because it is closer to the front, although not as often as it has been, but the Russians do continue to attack, send missiles there. The mood is anything but dark. Shops and businesses are reopening. People who were abroad are returning. And it's a lie to say the mood is dark. And, you know, as I was observing the hours, you know, really 45 minutes after that attack ended on Saturday, my hotel here in Kyiv, and all the other journalists and foreign aid workers, they're happily eating a lovely breakfast, you know, and enjoying life, and no one's complaining. But then they go and they write these stories saying that the mood is dark, and that's not just.
Where do the stories come from, do you think? And I'm glad we get the real story from you.
Well, part of it is the need for drama in journalism, which, I mean, but there's enough drama here every day, you know, if you just dig a bit deeper.
Yeah.
There's a book called Scoop by the British writer Evelyn Waugh. And when I had an internship at U.S. News when I was in university in Notre Dame. And my boss was Michael Barone, the great political sort of theorist in America and reporter. And he put a copy of this book on my desk the first day on the job of Evelyn Waugh's Scoop. And the book is a satire of British journalism in the 1920s or 1930s, maybe, going to cover a foreign war. And the journalists are always drunk, and they're running to file their stories, and they tend to make stuff up sometimes. Now, there's many brave journalists here, but in the rush to file stories, you get caught up in narratives and swept up in narratives, and then your editors expect you to follow those narratives. And my boss, Barone, that boss at U.S. News, said that this is the truest book about journalism ever written. And I do see some of that here. And then, you know, it's not just the journalists, though. I mean, I have respect for the ones who put themselves in harm's way. But we also there were reports over the Thanksgiving weekend about that it came from German media that Germany and the U.S. behind the scenes are pushing for Ukraine to negotiate. And there, this is definitely happening. I mean, it seems, you know, I mean, we've known this for a long time. Many people in the Pentagon are afraid of the idea of Russian defeat. And so what I think it, I encourage everyone to start to pay attention to see that we're going to start seeing more and more of these headlines calling for negotiations. But no, you know, and then they can cite these stories to talk about the dark mood and the fear. But the fact is, Ukraine is in a stronger position than it has been ever since the full scale invasion started. You know, a year ago, it was every Monday, every Tuesday, almost every week, starting in October, Russia sent 80 to 100 missiles. And in the Guardian newspaper from the UK, Timothy Snyder, who's a Yale professor, he's a historian and he's been a great advocate for Ukraine. And he's pushing back against these negative narratives. And he knows a lot about, you know, he studied military history. He knows a lot about Ukraine and what's happening. He says he hates a stalemate analogy. It's an analogy from chess. And he says, you know, it suggests that we're sort of stuck with what the pieces we have on the board. But it's like, in reality, we could just drop five more queens on the board. You know, the queen is the most powerful, piece in chess. Mm-hmm. You know, if your pawn reaches the end of the board, you can get another queen. And Timothy Snyder, professor at Yale, told the Guardian, you know, we could just drop five more queens at any time. You could bring, send attackums, long-range weapons to Ukraine from the U.S., the Taurus missiles from Germany, and we already see that those are effective. All you have to do is add a few more. And speaking of chess, Garry Kasparov, who is a Russian citizen, he's in exile. He's one of the few vocal, vehement critics from Russia of the Russian regime, of what Russia's doing in Ukraine. And he says, he said this today, he tweeted, always waiting for Russia to escalate has failed. Any war worth fighting is a war worth winning. And so really the argument there is, you know, everyone's always afraid. Russia says, if you do this, we're going to, you know, do something worse. And they keep saying that, but that never, you know, the red lines keep being moved. Mm-hmm. And it's so, but we have everyone still living in this fear of Russia. And it goes down to a micro level. Like, if the people on the streets of Kyiv and Kharkiv are not afraid, why are they afraid in Washington and Berlin and Paris and maybe sometimes in London?
Good questions. And I need to get that book. What's it called? Scoop?
Scoop, yeah, it's hilarious, and there are some. I mean, there's obviously always noble journalists that have never been part of that paradigm, but you do see how people get caught up in the rush to file stories, and you get caught up in narratives, and especially if you're only around people that, you know, are reading and talking to the same people, you know, your narrative's not questioned. So the book is called Scoop.
Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe, glad you had a good night's sleep. But do us a favor. Try not to sleep so soundly in the future, and we'll talk tomorrow. Thank you.
I did not. I can't blame it on too much turkey because I had no turkey for Thanksgiving. But until tomorrow.
Yes, sir.